Welcome back to another episode of Trailblazers, where we shine a light on visionary leaders transforming the Lehigh Valley and beyond through bold action, deep purpose, and unwavering heart. I'm your host, Melody Bradford. Today, we're joined by a leader whose story is about much more than titles or outcomes. It's about resilience, humanity, and the power of intention in leadership. Scott McDade, CEO of HoverTech International, brings decades of experience in healthcare, in distribution, and in manufacturing. But it's his passion for people, patients, clinicians, and employees alike that truly defines his leadership. From knocking on 50 doors a day in a 100% commission sales role to leading national divisions at McKesson, which is a $220 billion company, to now guiding one of the country's most innovative safe patient handling companies, Scott's journey is equal parts grit and grace. Today we'll talk about career pivots, loss, purpose, and what it means to lead with heart in the face of challenge and change. Thanks so much for joining us today, Scott.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Scott, can you take us back to your early career when you had that 100% commission sales days? What did that teach you about grit and belief in yourself? Because I know from being in sales for as long as I've been, I won't date myself, but that could be a tough time. Talk to me a little bit about that.
It's funny. You don't think of it, I think, till you get there. You know, when the position was told to me, I thought, this is really exciting. I'm in medical supplies, I'm in distribution, and I get a great opportunity to work with physicians' offices, surgery centers, nursing homes, hospitals.
Sure.
So I was really excited, and I get there, and the manager sits six of us down, and he basically says, here are a stack of 50 pennies, and here's a phone book, which much of your audience won't know what a phone book is. And here is a list of supplies that we have on a daily basis at the distribution center. All these people in the phone book aren't buying from us. You're going to make 50 calls a day till you're done and sell what's on this paper binder for medical supplies. And there it started. And I think that most difficult was just getting in the rhythm. And what I learned about it is, and he kind of coached and preached, is something that could still be used today, which is the discipline around consistency and just calling and call and call. And what you ended up doing is making about a 3 or 4 week rounds of all of the calls that you had already made. And it was just completing 50 calls a day. And his objective was to take a penny out of the left pocket and put it in the right pocket. And when all 50 pennies were in the right pocket, you went home for the day, or you did whatever you wanted for the day. In the beginning, it was brutal. I will not lie to you. It was some tough days, some tough weeks. And that's what taught me to count the small wins. And I think that's lost a lot of times today. Mm-hmm. People kind of go after what's the big win, what's the line in the sand. Mm-hmm. And what it taught me is have the discipline and the consistency to go through a process every single day. And in every day, what's the win? Did one person talk to you? Did one person let you in an office? Did one person ask you a question that you could call back and have a problem solved, you know, solve a problem for them? That's probably the biggest thing, is the discipline, the consistency, and take the small wins when you're looking for something so really small, it like making calls, 50 calls a day. You're not going to get an order from everybody. You're going to get a question from right. somebody. You're not going to get anything from some days.
Right.
And then some days are bang. And you ended up getting somebody to welcome you into their office and say, I've got some problems I need solved. Can you help me? So that's probably the grit that it took to just continue. That was about a 9 month to 1 year process before you had enough dollars that you would be considered. And at those days, it was very minimum, under 20,000, but you would be considered to have an actual paycheck available to you.
So, yeah. You know, as you're speaking, the movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, comes to mind, right?
Yeah.
Where he just keeps, you know, he has to like call and he's like, and then finally he goes to the top of the list. Like, was there ever a time that you just thought to yourself, I don't want to do this, or I'm losing ground, or I'm losing my oomph. Like, you know, was there a point that just came that you said, not just about the consistency, but did you actually think to yourself, this is going to be good? This is, you know, this is teaching me a lesson.
Yeah, no, I think as the 21-year-old, I don't know that I had it in me to be taught a lesson, but the the inner self was, keep at it. I had five other people around me that were doing similar things in similar locations, and we talked a lot. You know, this was pre-cell phones, pre-computers, pre-texting. We got together once a week. We kind of just went over the week, who had success, who didn't, how did you have success? I think that's something else that's very underutilized today, is the opportunity to share in your successes and have real conversations about what works and what doesn't work as you go through this process, whatever your process is. And that's probably something I leaned on. That's why I stayed. Those small wins, I saw success. I saw people needing problems solved and just stayed with it, you know, and kept going.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point, because you said that, you know, you were surrounded by five people that essentially you were having a regular conversation with about how to continue doing it and achieving success. And we talk a lot about, on this program specifically, about mentorship and, you know, who has been a guide and whatever. And a lot of times it's people that are ahead of you in your career or whatever. But there's actually a whole lot of, you know, wonderful things to learn about those that are kind of around you, some of your peers, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's actually some interesting advice. Now, how did you make the transition then to McKesson? Was there somebody that you knew? Was there somebody that took you under their wing? Because McKesson's a huge company. Like, they're like second to like Walmart and like Amazon.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
they're big. Pretty big, and they're in the medical device and
distribution and pharmaceuticals and medical supplies. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that transition.
It's kind of comical. I was in college and I had a little tiny maid business, McDade's Maids. And I was cleaning somebody's home, and she was a friend of a friend. And she got me in contact with somebody and said, I think that they are looking for salespeople. Would you be interested? And I was like, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do next. So I was graduating the following semester, and I said, yeah, I'd love to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And she put me in contact with them, and I went and spoke to them, and they were like, listen, we'll give you X percent. You don't have to worry about the accounts receivable. You just kind of bang on doors and try to sell medical supplies, and we'll do the rest. We'll do the distribution. We'll get it there. I had nothing else to lose, and I thought, you know what? Let me go give it a shot.
Wow. I mean, talk about like grit and sales, right?
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And before we sat down here, we were talking a little bit about just how, you know, you're always interviewing, right? Like, how important is it to have a break like that? And what has that taught you in kind of, you know, like having that break? And then what did that then evolve to for you at McKesson?
Well, I'll tell you two things. One is I went to LaSalle. I have a friend that's a professor there, and I would talk to some of their classes, junior and senior classes at LaSalle University. And one of the things I always told them, told the kids is, listen, for the last 5 years, you've run past your aunts, your uncles, and your neighbors who are sitting in the kitchen talking with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that stops today. And today you go in and you actually say, hi, Mr. and Mrs. McDade. Hi, Melody. Hi, Justin. How are you? What are you guys doing for work? What do you like about it? What do you don't like about it? Is there any chance I could have a cup of coffee with you and find out about it? I think that's part of the kind of thing that I loved about going into sales and getting into a McKesson is just talking to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
building the relationship.
Building the relationships.
Yeah.
So that's how I ended up getting there, was a relationship. And somebody said, hey, I think you'd be good for this, who was a friend of a friend, you know, and it was somebody's sister. And that's the kind of thing that I think has to happen more. And if you open yourself up for that, you'll get more of that. If you keep yourself closed, you'll get less of that. And that's one of the things I try to profess to the kids is, and even young adults, is keep yourself open, keep yourself connected. Don't be afraid to reach across the aisle and open a door that you otherwise would be closed, but only because of you, it gets opened and then you get a new relationship. So
yeah. And so building relationships is great, but were you ever scared at any point, because we talked about this too, you know, sales can sometimes be, you're only as good as your next, as your last number, right? And sometimes you internally, you kind of struggle with the value of, okay, how do I make that leap? How do I make that, how do I stay positive? How do I continue to have the motivation to stay, you know, be successful, stay successful? Was there ever a time that you found that you were scared or maybe, you know, encountered a hurdle or a challenge or anything like that?
Yeah, there's plenty of times your confidence gets rocked because of a bad month or a bad couple months.
Mm-hmm. What advice do you give your team? Because I know we're going to talk about culture in a minute. So what do you give? What advice do you give your team from that perspective?
Just stay on the discipline and the consistency. Scott Steffen, who works for me, he's our VP of sales. He has a great line about it's a 20-mile march, which is it goes to a Jim Collins book. But basically in the South Pole, 120 years ago, there was somebody trying to get to the South Pole. One group did 20 miles a day. The other group tried to race there and then race back home. They perished. The group that was very consistent and very disciplined on a 20-mile march per day for 6 months, or however long the period was, succeeded. And that's what I try to tell people. Many of these things I do because I disliked some of the, you know, past and what people did and didn't do. If we all have transparent communication, all agree on things, are all going the same way, we all have decided and know about what position we are going to be in, and we put down for a customer, God forbid, you know, we don't get a deal or we end up failing. It's not because of that one person failed. It's because organizationally we tried to do something, we put something out there. They were the messenger, but they necessarily weren't always the 100% decision maker. So I always like to say, hey, what did we learn from this experience? Let's do an after action review. Let's find out what went right, what went wrong. It's critically, I think, important for culture. I was a rep for 9 years. I never want the person that's the messenger to feel like they're out there alone on an island, just them trying to deliver that to the customer. It's a collective, us in that process. So
I love
there's
that.
A great line I love, which is good judgment comes from experience, but some experience comes from bad judgment. And I love that experience
that is
as well.
So perfect.
And I love that experience. I want the bad judgment experience. When I do interviews with people, I want to hear about your bad judgment. If you come in and tell me all these great things and everything rosy and life's fantastic, you're hiding something, because all of us have made some bad judgments and bad experience. And it only adds to good judgment.
And you know, that's not just in business, that's in life too, right? I mean, you may have somebody coming in that just had, you know, they personally, they may be walking a path, you know, that you know nothing about, you know, and in a world where you can be anything, be kind, right? Because you don't know what the other person's going through at that point. And we spend a lot of time at work. We spend probably, in some cases, I know even personally, you know, you spend more time working than you actually do with your family at times. So it's important to kind of have that perspective. That's really incredible advice. Let me shift gears here for a second. Talk a little bit about leadership philosophy and your personal journey. You've said that leadership comes through loss, and specifically you had the tragic loss of your daughter 28 years ago. How did that experience shape your values as a leader?
So I'll touch on a couple things here because I think it's important. I was a sales rep, and we ended up having this loss right after at childbirth, and tragic. And at McKesson, there's a gentleman by the name of Rick Frey, who was my mentor at the time. And he was, I think, like a vice president of sales. And he had the compassion and the empathy to let me go through what I had to go through. And it was not days or weeks. It was months. Our head was not in the right place, both my wife and I. And when we came through that, and Rick was 100% there, and we came through that on the other side, and he said to me, I just couldn't get back into the grind, really, the 50 calls a day. You know, you're seeing a lot of customers. There's a lot of, like, ticky-tack things that had to be done for each customer all the time, and orders and setups and all kinds of other stuff. And I just didn't have it. You know, it was just not there from what I just went through, some, you know, a tragic episode. So Rick said to me, hey, would you ever think of being in sales leadership? I wanted to ask you, but so few of you, 100% commissioned person who's doing well, takes a pay cut and then goes into management and would go on. And I talked to my wife about it, and I always loved coaching and teaching, and especially this whole philosophy of the discipline and the process and the small wins. And she said, let's go for it. And it was like kind of like a new beginning in this, and we needed something different then. It was, we were still struggling. So that's kind of how I got into it. This Rick Frey saw something in me, and he said, hey, I'd love you to come aboard and try your management hand. And I loved it. So that's kind of the start of it. And I ended up with 15 or 16 regional representatives in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York. And I just loved it. I loved leading people. I loved solving problems. I loved helping them through their problems. And that's really the kind of the family first attitude when I got, that's really when it took real root for me, was through that journey right then. And I realized then that your legacy will be remembered by the significant events, even though the day-to-day matters greatly, and it's very important. But when life comes up and bites you, and you have an event like we did, or you have an event like a parental loss, or some curveball in life, that's where the rubber meets the road for the legacy of what you will bring and that person will remember you by. And I think that's kind of what I took into the next 25 years of my, you know, leadership journey, is that empathy and compassion that Rick had for me, I ended up trying to bring along to everybody else. So
what do you think is like one decision that you've made that truly embodied that philosophy? Was there one that you feel comfortable sharing?
There's so many. I've led hundreds and hundreds of people. I think the kind of what I just said probably encapsulates it, that
overall.
And even, you know, my last 3 years here at HoverTech, we've had curveballs with personal issues, and it's how you show up. And you got to make sure you show up at 110% for those people at the time that they need it most. So whether it's, you know, folks going through the loss of a parent or a hospice parent, and you send them away to go take care of mom and dad, or you give them time off of work to deal with a medical issue, or you figure out what they need, because our experience, the leadership team may know what they need prior to them knowing what they need. So you say, hey, you might need this, this, and this.
Right.
Let us help you, you know. And then they come back and say, holy crap, I didn't really know that I needed all that. Thank you so much. Thank you for the time to either to heal or to have grace with a loved one or whatever it is. And I think as long as I'm leading, I will never stop doing that, because it meant the world to me in 1997. And it'll mean the world to somebody in 2037, you know, so it's critical, and it's an anchor in my career.
So I'm going to shift gears again and talk about HoverTech, which is the company you now lead. It's a medical device company, and it was acquired recently by a Swedish company, ETAC, correct?
ETAC, yeah.
Okay.
2019 they acquired.
Okay.
Heavily invested, yes.
Okay. You joined HoverTech and ETAC technically 3 years ago. What drew you to this role, and what made it feel like the right next chapter from where you are at McKesson?
So a couple things. I think one thing is interesting that applies here is that we talked about open doors, and a gentleman who's wonderful, he just retired, but he was president and CEO at HCSC here in the Lehigh Valley, the laundry company for hospitals. Pete Castagna is his name, and he was on our board, and he's just a fabulous guy.
He is.
Yeah, and he knew someone who's my mentor the last 20 years, a gentleman by the name of Gary Keeler. And Pete had reached out to Gary and said, hey, I'm looking for somebody. I'm on a board. This organization needs X. Do you know anybody? And this guy said, yeah, why don't you call Scott McDade? He's been there, done that. You know, he's done that for us here to help. At least have him take a look.
Yeah.
And it was not an interview. It was not, it was advice. And I looked at it, and when I had just done in 2017 and on, I had done the health systems, kind of like a build out or a strategy for the health systems for our medical surgical division at McKesson. And Gary said, I think it'd be good to talk to him. So I came up, talked to Pete, talked to a couple board members. And then like 3 months later, they were like, would you ever come be a CEO? And I was like, no, thank you. McKesson has been wonderful to me, has been wonderful to my family. It is a great place to work. And then after the next 3 to 6 months, you know, it just came, just take a look, just come talk to us, just look at what we do. And ETAC is split into two divisions. There's a safe patient handling division, which is what I run. And then there is a mobility division, which is manual wheelchairs for adults and children. And they have another company called Convade and Key that do strollers and wheelchairs. And when I looked at this organization and what they do for patients and clinicians, it just melted me. And it was the heart side of the business and my body, really, you know, my mind and that said, go do this.
Yeah.
Like, this is a calling that I had never had pull like a magnet before. And I went home to my wife, who thought, oh, what? You've been there for 34 years. I had been at McKesson. And have had a wonderful, wonderful career. They're great people.
And they make great products, too.
Well, we were in distribution, you know, and it was awesome. But the whole career was awesome. It was weird. It was certainly crazy, but I couldn't get away from what we did and how we literally interact with patients and clinicians and nurses and literally impact their lives daily. And, you know, we profess to impact about 34 lives a day, 34,000 lives a day. It's absolutely incredible and amazing as an organization. So it was really impactful to me to make the change.
And align with that.
And align with it. My wife aligned with it, right? I've been married as long as I was with McKesson, 34 years. And it's been awesome. It is, when you see what we do and you meet with an MS patient, you meet with an ALS patient, you see the equipment that we provide, and we're a manufacturer worldwide. So, you know, I'm lucky enough to see some of that locally. I've seen some of it internationally. And the nurses that we help with the HoverMat product line, it's mind-blowing. And extending patients, the dignity of patients, extending the nurses' quality of care in their lives, nurses' shortage, obesity rates, you know, these nurses do a lot. Mm-hmm. And to think that we can help them in some small part is just really awesome.
So tell me a little bit about HoverTech, right? So I have the pleasure of knowing Dave Davis, the founder, but tell us a little bit about him and the story of HoverTech and what made him such an innovator and what legacy still lives on in the company today.
Sure. So it's kind of cool. He started on Second Street in Allentown. He then transferred to Fountain Hill. And then we ended up at the building we're at. And Dave's really a very passionate person when it comes to nurse care. He is really passionate about making sure that extending the lives of patients and also the nurses that care for them and clinicians. He created the HoverMat to do just that. And he was out in the field, and he'll tell you wonderful stories about three shifts and four shifts of changing in a hospital and come back and sew something different and do something different and get a product for this or for that. So Dave really created something wonderful in 2008 when he created the single patient use HoverMat is really what changed the organization, the company, and we had to go from Cool Street to where we are today in innovation way. And it was really Dave culturally was the kind of the other thing that drew me there. We are incredibly aligned with the family first attitude. Dave, employees are number one. He has always been there for them. He's taken care of them. We're so symbiotic in what we felt about the employees of the organization and how we treat people. And that was probably because my heart was in it from a product. And then you go and you meet the leadership, and the leadership was awesome. And they just really wanted to find somebody that could grow the organization. People were great. And then I met Dave and Jody, and it was just fantastic.
That culture actually trickles down to the clinician level where, you know, you're helping, he cares about the nurses that are using his products every day and or the ones that he innovated on. Is there one particular product that you love the most or, you know, has been most impactful, not just from use perspective, but even from a revenue generating perspective that, you know, it was a slam dunk all around?
I think only because I've seen it in use so many times now, and I've actually been participated in moving a 900-pound patient, it would definitely be the HoverMat single patient use device. That it is amazing. Dave and I traveled 2 weeks ago out at a hospital, and we were there and we saw a patient transferred, a 900-pound patient transferred. Our mat actually can go up to 1,200 pounds, and they can use two different motors and get a different lift through inflation. But it was absolutely wonderful to see. And, you know, when you have a 900-pound patient, it would take eight nurses or so or more to actually move a patient. You know, a traditional patient, it's 200, 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. Typically, there would be four or five nurses there. And now when you use our product, it can take two. So that absolutely still is revolutionary to patient handling.
And a product with purpose, right?
A product with purpose. Nobody
hits it out of the park.
And I'll meet nurses out there that are like, I pulled my back. I pulled my shoulder. My hand hurts. My this hurts. My that. So it is a wonderful product that really has made an incredible difference and contribution to clinicians and nurses in hospitals.
Yeah. When you talk about these products and, you know, you're working with your sales team and you're deciding how to get it into different markets and how to continue to grow that revenue, how do you work with some of those sales leaders, I'll call them, to see their potential and align with the product? And, you know, like, how do you bring out the best in some of these sales individuals that you work with?
I have the pleasure of having two different groups, right? We have the HoverMat products, and that's Scott Steffen. I mentioned his name. He's the VP of sales there. And I have a gentleman, Mike Agnew, who's the general manager of our ETAC group, who sells the products mostly to the home care and hospital, the VA's home care and hospital. I count on them a lot. They are two people that were handpicked by me. Mm-hmm. I've known Michael a long time. I actually, speaking of mentoring again, I was a mentor to Michael at McKesson. Mm-hmm. And Scott Steffen, we were able to, a gentleman that works, Peter, that works with us in the office and runs our HR, Peter knew Scott and was said, hey, this is a guy we probably should interview. In our interview cycles, just random. Mm-hmm. And we met him and both of us looked at each other like, oh my goodness, we've got to get him. So it was really wonderful. They both have significant experience in what they do and what they bring to the table in their own right. So both of them have 20 plus years of leadership experience, building out commercial assets experience. So what I do is I do family first culturally, but I'm also do open, honest, and transparent. Mm-hmm. So I do a town hall every month. Mm-hmm. I do a weekly leadership meeting. I do a quarterly offsite leadership meeting. I have an open door policy, and that's for anybody and everybody at the building. In the business, you know, I do not say yes or no to somebody. And I think that's probably through those avenues of open, transparent, that goes from the leadership to somebody else, you know, anybody else in the building. And that's important to me. I think that I want to hear from everybody. And I just don't want to hear from our senior leaders and what they're doing. I want to hear from everybody and what's going on in the organization and how do we make sure that we're always looking for operational process improvement. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the greatest thing. From a leadership perspective, what I look for is people that are, you have to have the right aptitude, you have to have the right attitude. Mm-hmm. And I love to go after interview questions that actually tell me something about the possibility that they have some grit, that they have some resilience, that they've been through some bad judgment calls that have created some good experience. And the outcome of that may be some good judgment in the future. Mm-hmm. I like people that are humble, but are also very hungry. Mm-hmm. And most of all, are hardworking. They're not afraid to, whether it's unload a truck or lead a negotiation at a customer. You know, we want people that work hard and play hard, but that they also have the attributes that are really important to the organization culturally. The leadership team has it organizationally. Dave had created it coming up, and I'm literally just trying to keep it going all the way. You know, I'm not trying to to mess that up, because it's really a wonderful place to work. So,
well, it's a beautiful legacy to leave behind as a leader, for sure. And I could talk to you for hours about this, but we are out of time. So, Scott, thank you so much for showing us that leadership isn't just about ego. It truly is about empathy. It's about walking through loss, lifting others, and creating solutions that restore dignity and preserve humanity. Whether it's supporting nurses, like you talked about, empowering caregivers, or mentoring the next generation of leaders, you've colored your career with purpose, heart, and extraordinary courage. For our listeners, if this conversation moved you, please share it. And remember, every great leader once stood where you are, wondering if they could rise. This is Melody Bradford. Until next time, keep trailblazing.